you so much, Tzachi, for your once again invitation. I really, really feel good here at home. So wonderful to be here and to serve the Almighty, hallelujah, by His grace. So, without further blah, 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 if you have your Bibles, Isaiah. We'll jump from the Torah portion of the week from the prophets and to the Torah portion, Parashat HaShavua, and we will, of course, you know me already quite well, we'll insert here and there the New Covenant writings, okay? But let's start with the portion from the prophets. Isaiah 51, verse 12. I am who comforts you. Who are you that you should be afraid of a man who will die? And of the Son of Man who will be made like grass. And my beloved, let me pause here and say, who are you, folks who are seated here? Who are you to fear from Ahmadinejad? Who are you to fear from Obama? Who are you to fear for any man on this planet Earth? Whom are you believing in? Are you believing in a political figure? Where do you put your trust in? We will deal with it quite a lot today in the message. I am He who comforts you. Beloved, where do we get our comfort? And why do I start with such comforting words? Some of you who are familiar with the Messianic movement, with how the rabbis, you know, fit the Haftorah or the portions of the week from the prophets to the Torah portions, you know that between Tisha B'Av, the ninth of the Hebrew month of Av, where the two temples were destroyed. Are you familiar, most of you? Yeah? That we celebrated, we did not celebrate really, you know, we just commemorated a few weeks ago in July, yeah? Between that terrible day in the Jewish history, not only the two temples were destroyed, the spies came back and gave bad report. It is believed even that Moses broke the two tablets, the first two tablets, on the Tisha B'Av, on this terrible day on the Hebrew calendar, okay? And of course, the Kristallnacht in the, you know, preceding the Holocaust and other terrible things befell the Jewish people on that very terrible night. So between the 9th of Av, all the way to the feast, the first feast of the fall feast, yeah? Feast of Trumpets, and those are not the Jewish feast. Those are the God's feast. So stop with this, our feast, the Jewish feast. Well, it's yours because you are covenant people. But so the Gentiles were grafted in. They are also in the covenant. First class citizens. Okay? So, beloved, between the first feast, fall feast of God, which is the Feast of Trumpets, and the Tisha B'Av, you count exactly 7 weeks, 7 Sabbaths, 7 Shabbats, okay? And the Jews placed on those 7 Sabbaths portions from the prophets, which do not exactly fit necessarily the portions of the week in the Torah, but they do fit those horrible days, because the Feast of Trumpets is considered as one of the days of judgment, you know, where the books are start being opened, you know, and it's finished in the Day of Atonement, okay? Horrible days, actually. Sephardic Jews, or is it Ashkenazis, already starts with Slichot, with asking, it's Ashkenazic, I think, right? Sephardics, okay. They start already for 40 days or so, yeah? They ask for, they repent. That's why month of Elul is called the month of repentance, yeah? They made tshuva. Okay, the days of repentance. So they put the rabbis who decided on the portions from taken from the prophets, decided to take Isaiah as the main prophet. Why? Because Isaiah speaks a lot of comfort. He speaks lots of words of comfort to his people. We do need comfort, do you believe it? Especially in those days. And as you know me, I teach the break mindset behind the scriptures, yeah? Or through which the scriptures were given, which is cyclical. Nothing is new under the sun. You do not put events on a line and then check them. Okay, this is okay. Now let's look for the... No. You cannot look for the next if you don't understand the past. Because they are all connected. Nothing is new under the sun, like the wisest men say. Okay? So these seven portions from the prophet, which speaks about comfort. Comfort thee, my people. Comfort them, yeah? Isaiah 40, and here, I am your comforter. Who are you to be afraid of those antichrists? Those fit so well to our times, our very times, beloved. Do you agree with me? Especially if you are an Israelite, somebody who lives in Israel, like myself, my Gabi, my sweet wife, you know how the atmosphere is very stressed and tension there, with all the threats. Okay? So, let's continue to read some words of comfort. I am who comforts you. Who are you that you should be afraid of a man who will die? Of the son of a man who will be made like grass. And you forget the Lord your maker who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth. Do we have some people here amongst us who like astronomy? Who like to look at the stars, the galaxies? Can you explain them? The million galaxies, not million stars. We are idiots not to trust this God and to fear those grasshoppers, the rulers of this world. They are just little tools, little strings in God's almighty hand. You know, he just, oops, put this aside, brings this. What a God we serve, beloved. Wake up. And speaking about wake up, let's wake up with the word of God, verse 17. Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem. And you know that one of the descriptive names of us sitting today here is Jerusalem. Did you know it? We are the bride. God was never for bigamy. God never said in his scriptures, including the new covenant scriptures, that he has two wives, the church and Israel. This is an error. There is no such a thing. There is only one bride, one wife. God cannot expect us to have only one wife if he doesn't do the same. So simple. The church is full of errors, and messianic movement is full of errors as well. It's for the lake of knowledge that my people, not the rest of the world, are perishing. It is for lack of knowledge that my people are perishing. So let's gain some knowledge. Let's glean something from God's living water. Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem. You have drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. You have drunk the dregs of the cup of trembling and drained it out. Isaiah 51:22. Thus says the Lord God, thus says your Lord, the Lord and your God, who pleads the cause of his people. See, I have taken out of your hand the cup of trembling, and guess what? He did it already in Yeshua's time. That's why he told his father, take you the cup, but not as my, according to my will, but your will. It was this cup of trembling, cup of judgment. So for us, let's get encouraged. For us, he already took it. See, I've taken out of your hand the cup of trembling, the dregs of the cup of my fury. You shall no longer drink it. But I will put it into the hand of those who afflict you. And since we are talking about cyclical mindset, those who are afflicting Israel and will afflict even more Israel in the near future are going to, as we call it, to eat it. To eat what they cook. Because they are foolish. They don't understand. They need to give the glory to God, who only used them as his rod, you know, to spank his little child called Israel. But I will put it into the hands of those who afflict you, who have said to you, lie down, that we may walk over you. And you have laid your body like the ground, and as the for those who walk over you. So, do we need some comfort today? So sure about it, turn with me to the Torah portion. Deuteronomy 17, verse 1. You shall not sacrifice to the Lord your God a bull or a sheep which has any blemish or defect, for that is an abomination to the Lord your God. And again, cyclical mindset. If it's not cyclical, if it's linearic line, yeah, then we should not even treat these scriptures. We should not even honor them, Tzachi, if they don't speak to us today. You shall not sacrifice anything which is blemished before God, which is the opposite, you know. Everything should be clean, pure, right? Whatever you sacrifice to God, with an unpure, impure heart is abomination. Did you know it? And by the way, you can look so well outward. The makeup that you put every morning can hide your gross sin from us, human beings, but not from God. Not from God. Be careful, my beloved. My people perish because of lack of knowledge. Beloved, many people in God's house are going to perish because of lack of knowledge, because they took God's word too lightly. They thought, he's our buddy, the maker of the galaxies. Come on, sit behind me on my scooter. Let's take a ride. Blasphemy. Know before whom you are standing. Dalifne mi ata omed in Hebrew. So whom are we standing before? Here it is. He will not take any abomination from our hand. If there is found among you within any of your gates, I am in verse 2, chapter 17 of the book of Deuteronomy. If there is found among you within any of your gates, which the Lord your God gives you, a man or a woman who has been wicked or in sight of the Lord your God in transgressing his covenant, who has gone and served other gods. I wonder how many of us are serving other gods beside the God of Israel. Beside in other gods and worship them, either the sun or the moon or any of the host of heaven, which I have not commanded, and it is told to you, and you hear of it, then you shall inquire diligently. And if it is indeed true and certain that such an abomination is committed in Israel, and guess what? Put your finger there. Welcome to the club called Israel. Again, God is not into bigamy. Welcome to the club called Israel. So whenever it says Israel, it speaks to you as well. Then you bring out to your gates that man or woman who has committed that wicked thing and shall stone to death that man or woman with stones. Okay, let's continue. In the next chapter, Deuteronomy 18, verse 9. When you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, a soothsayer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. Tzachi. How many of our sweet people in Israel are seeking the dead, going prostrating themselves on the graves? How many of our precious people in Israel go to soothsayers, spiritists, mediums, and to fortune and future tellers? Why are we so surprised at the condition of both Israel in the natural? Remember what I told you before, welcome to the club. And the church! Why are we so surprised that the divorce rate in the church is sometimes higher than in the world? Why are we surprised that amongst us there are thieves, there are liars, there are fornicators? What will be, my beloved? Today I'm going to give you the solution. God is going to give you the solution by His grace. For all who do those things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of those abominations, the Lord your God drives them out before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. Did you listen? You shall be blameless. Tamim in Hebrew. Tamim is perfect. Perfectly blameless. Can we be? Yes and no. Depends how you look at it. Today I will try to help you to raise to another level. The spiritual level, and show you how you can defeat the devil in your life. How you can indeed be blemished. God does not require from us anything that is impossible. Let's continue. For those nations which you will dispose, listen to soothsayers and diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such for you. Beloved, listen carefully. Israel was cast out of her holy land, the promised land, twice already because of those things. What makes you think that Israel can go along with it without being punished for the third time? God has changed? If God has changed a bit, woe to us, because we are not saved, because he can change his mind as well about us. Don't worry, I don't say that Israel will go again to captivity or not, but I do say that Israel is going to some terrible times called Jacob's trouble, such terrible times that Yeshua said if he would not come to stop it, not even one flesh would survive. The Holocaust will pale against what is coming on this world, on the heart of the world, which is Israel. My beloved, so now we can be, if you are like me at least, you can be quite discouraged. God, you really expect too much of us. Yeah? I mean, I say to God, I mean, how in the world can I be blemished? Today I promise you something, not tomorrow, the next moment. You know, in one time I can say, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and we will get there soon. And after a few seconds, your mind is after foolish things of men. Wow! What is the solution to this imperfectness in us? What is the solution to this flesh, yucky, pucky flesh, which prevents us to do God's will? First of all, can I see a show of hands of people who at least feel like me? Or am I now in a holy congregation which never sins? Do we need God's comfort? Do we need God's grace? Do we need God's help to defeat the devil? Not outside, but in God's house. Here first, because this is God's house. And together we make big God house. Do we need his grace? So what's the solution? Within the context. So simple. Let's go there. Verse 15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst. Woo! From your brethren, him you shall hear. Listen carefully, beloved people of God, Torah keepers, or at least Torah attempters to keep the Torah. No one of us can keep the Torah fully. But bless your heart that you at least are in the right direction. At least you give some of your attention to it, unlike the other churches, yeah? So bless your heart for this. But listen carefully to those words, Tzachi, of the Torah. You shall hear Moses. You shall hear Elijah or the other prophets. You shall hear him, because I will place my name in him, my word in him. You remember the transfiguration experience? Oh, Lord, Lord, it's good that we are here. Peter is speaking. Oh, Peter, I love this man, yeah? Full of emotions, and right now. He goes for it, whether it's bad or good, Hallelujah, here! Peter, it's good we are here. Let us build for you, for you a sukkah, booth, tabernacle, for Elijah and for Moses. Then Yeshua said, wow, thank God. Oh, thank you, Abba, for providing this help for me. Yes, please, can I put a hand? Where is the toolbox? Let's build the sukkahs. No, ridiculous! The cloud comes down. And what the voice says, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. You shall hear him. Exactly correlates with what we just read here. I'm giving you the solution, beloved. Are you still listening? I'm giving you the solution for this deprived situation that we are all in. This flesh, yucky, pucky flesh, which doesn't enable us to, the opposite, it blocks us from doing God's word. Here is the solution. You want to have victory? Follow the prophet. Remember John the Baptist? They come, a delegation to the Jews, in John chapter 1, the Gospel of John. Who are you? So we will let them who sent us, Are you Elijah? No. Are you the Messiah? No. Who are you? Are you the prophet? Relating to this portion. Are you the prophet in whom God's very name will be? To whom we should hear, listen? Whom we should hear or heed to his voice? So, beloved, here is the solution. Listen and put your trust and focus not on things of the world, not on man-made traditions, but rather on him. Not on super spirituality. Oh, the Lord is calling me there. The Lord is, I have the spirit of Elijah in me. I'm a prophet or a prophetess. Oh, on the other end, I'm a Torah observant man. You eat pork, you go to hell. You worship on Sunday, you're a Sunday cow kisser. It's not this, neither that. It's him. And if you will focus on him and on him alone, for God's sake, the rest will settle. You will have the balance, the right balance between Elijah and Moses, beloved. But is he only the prophet in our Torah portion? He is also our very king. So let's go to the king portion. Deuteronomy 17, verse 14. When you come to the land which the Lord your God is giving you and possess it and dwell in it and say, I will set a king over me like all the nations that are around me. Verse 15, you shall surely set a king over you whom the Lord your God chooses. Did you listen? Whom your God chooses, yeah? One from among your brethren. Do you believe Yeshua is your king?
Yes.
Do you believe he was chosen by God?
Yes.
Do you believe he came from his own brethren? Hallelujah. You see the picture? It's a picture of Messiah. Not of Solomon, which did the opposite of what it says here, yeah? And you may not set a foreigner over you who is not your brother. Remember? I came only to the lost sheep of Israel. Welcome to the club, those who have been grafted. He is your shepherd now as well. But he shall not multiply horses for himself like Solomon, nor cause the people to return to Egypt to multiply or to multiply horses, for the Lord has said to you, you shall not return that way again. Egypt, the world. Neither shall he multiply wives for himself. We spoke about it, yeah? Lest his heart turns away. Nor shall he greatly multiply silver and gold for himself. And it shall be when he sits on the throne of his kingdom. Oh, what a beautiful picture of the Messiah that we serve. That he shall write for himself a copy of this law, of this book. Beloved, Yeshua did not need to. He was the Torah incarnated. From the one before the priest, the Levite. And it shall be with him. And he shall read it all the days of his life. And he may learn to fear the Lord his God. And be careful to observe all the words of this law and those statutes. No other king of Israel, not even Hezekiah, not even Josiah, or the other good kings fit this description. Only Yeshua Mashiach, only Jesus Christ. He was humble. He did not have all horses or many wives or, gold and this. He did not have any place to lay his head on. He was poor. He was so poor he needed to curse a fig tree when he did not give him some fruits, yield to him some fruits. Remember? It says, read it in the context, he was hungry. He did not drink coffee that morning. That his heart may not be lifted above his brethren. Yeshua never lifted his heart. He called them, you are my friends, if you keep my commandment. He girded himself with a towel. What a beautiful king we serve. My beloved, did I convince you concerning the position of your heart if you do not focus on him and him alone? Did I convince you concerning the one solution? Yeshua Mashiach, the prophet and the king? Yes or no? Okay, I'm sorry to announce now that I'm not done with my message. Actually, it gets even into deeper waters. Because it's not enough to say, yes, we believe, hallelujah, Rami, preach it, brother. We love our king, we love our Messiah. Really? So why you are still lying? Why you are still offended and take offense in other brothers? Why you are full of pride? Why some of you fornicate? Why? I mean, you say the dogmatic sentence, the creed. I believe in God the Father, I believe. Also the demons, the devil say it, right? And they tremble. So how come you confess, but you don't do it? It is for the lack of knowledge that my people perish. You remember the third time I say it? Are you ready to gain some more knowledge today? Most of the church, forgive me, I'm in Messianic congregation, so I should see, most of the body of Christ, it's semantic. Most of those who believe in Yeshua ignore that salvation is not only a sinner prayer or an altar call. Most of the church today is stuck in the outer court, refusing to go through the holy into the holy of holies. And if they don't repent and awake, awake, O Jerusalem! If they don't awake of the slumber, they are going to perish. Not because they serve a bad, evil God. Quite the opposite. Because they are evil. They are not good. And they do not want to take the only solution serious enough. The only solution is focusing on Yeshua, our prophet, the prophet, and the king. Are you still with me? But what does it mean to focus on Messiah? It means walking in his footsteps, period. And if Yeshua had few stages in his life, we also will pass through those very few stages. Are you with me? If Yeshua went to the cross, we are going to walk to the cross as well. Because the cross is the solution to the problem that I presented before you just a second ago. So turn with me to Matthew 16. Okay, beloved, let's take a very known passage of scriptures. Yeah, especially in the church. Oh, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Just say it and you're saved. Really? Let's take it in context. Verse 13 of Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, 13. When Yeshua came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Beloved, did you notice that Yeshua did not ask this very question at the beginning of his ministry? Did you notice it? Did you notice that Yeshua never asked it on the Mount of Beatitudes, so to speak, you know, where he gave his sermon? Did you notice that he never spoke it to the multitudes when he addressed them from the boat? He never inserted it into Matthew 13 where it's, you know, with the parables, right? Of the sower, of the seed, etc., etc. He did it at the regions of Caesarea Philippi. Let me give you a little geographical, you know, lesson as a tour guide. Beloved, Caesarea Philippi or Banias, is located at the feet of Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon, okay, the highest, the tallest mountain in Israel. Are you with me? The northern section, do not take my words lightly. The northern, from where the trouble will come? From the north. Who was exiled first? The northern tribes. Who was the most terrible tribe and the most northern tribe whose name is not even mentioned in the Revelation? Dan. It's in the territory of Dan. Nearby, close by, okay? Caesarea Philippi, are you still awake? Only when he is there, Tzachi, he asks this crucially important question. Who do men say that I am? Why? Did you ever ask it? This area, Caesarea Philippi, it was named Caesarea Philippi after the Herod's son, Herod Philippus, yeah, who wanted to honor Caesar Tiberius, okay? One of the ways they honored, you know, their sponsors back in the Capitol Hill. Nobody got it. In Rome, back then Rome, was to build cities in their name or temples. Are you with me? And Herod Philippus built a city to differentiate it between his city and other cities. He named it after his own name. Philippus, Caesarea Philippi. So far so good. But the name of this city was not, or this location was not Caesarea Philippi. You know what was the original name of this place? Panias. P-A-N-I-A-S. Panias. Do you know the word, the English word, to get panic over something? Ah! Oh, God, what shall I do? Stop getting panicking. Stop worshipping the God of Pan. This is where it comes from. He is described half-body goat, half-body human being, you know, with the flute made out of reeds, you know, he used to make iTunes, which would scare the people out, or he would make noises. You know, he was affiliated to caves and shepherds, and you know, at night they heard his voice. They got panicking. His worshippers. Are you with me? It's not dry blah, blah, blah. It has to do to this passage. Remember, context is important. In this idol worshiping region, in the most northern place of Israel, the promised land, at least, so far. Most northern place and eastern place will be the Euphrates, if you know, yeah? When Yeshua comes. But back then, my friends, in this very yucky-packy place where they worshipped the god of Pan and other gods, little g, Yeshua asks the disciple, whom do people say I am? So let's continue. So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? But who do you say that I am? Please wake up, look at me. At Caesarea Philippi, at an idol worshipping place, people worship the god of Pan. Whom do you think that I am, Yeshua asks you today. I'm not talking that this messianic synagogue, God forbid, is idol worship. No, no, no. I mean in this world called Caesarea Philippi. In this world, Egypt, where everybody gets panicking about anything, yeah? In the news. Remember how we started? Comfort. Who are you to be afraid of this grass? This is the context, my friends. So whom do you think that I am? Again, our famous Peter, right? He jumps ahead. 16, Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Yeshua answered and said, blessed are you, Simon, Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Hallelujah. We can clap our hands. We can finish the sermon, right? No. Because we are going to check some other things within the immediate context. So go with me to verse 21. From that time, which time, beloved? Which time? Peter's confession, upon which, by the way, the church has been built since then. Remember, I will build your Petrus, and on that, Petra, big rock. Petrus is a small rock. I hope I don't preach to Catholics here who believe that this was the passage which ordained Peter as the first pope. Yeah? Peter, it was not upon him that the church is built. God forbid. It was upon his confession. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. My beloved, from that time, Peter's confession, verse 21, Yeshua began to show to his disciples that he must go, and the emphasis is on the word must. He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. And I love the next verse, Tzachi, the most funniest verse. Now, Tzachi, when we use the word in Israel, the Hebrew word, ligor, or ge'ara, rebuke. Come on, be honest. Do we... When I want to ligor becha, or lig, you know, to rebuke you or to rebuke my child, do I put a nice Sunday or Shabbat smile and say, excuse me, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but you know, you're a viper? No, come on, Tzachi, what is gara? You dummy, you are this and this and this, I rebuke you. Right? Why do I call it the funniest scripture in the entire scriptures? Because Simon Peter, I think the blood got into his head, you know, because of his confession. And he, hearing what Yeshua said, that he must go to Jerusalem and all this, he now takes the master role. Like Yeshua is a little boy. He takes him aside. Let's read it. Verse 22. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Can you imagine this? Funny. How much chutzpah he needed. Saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. To remind you, it took place only 1 minute after his confession. Maybe 1 minute, I'm generous. Maybe 30 seconds. Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Wake up. It is because or due to lack of knowledge that my people perish. Salvation through Yeshua's blood is a process and not one-time McDonald's fix. I say the setup, I reply to an altar, my pastor's altar call, hallelujah, I'm saved. No, you just enter the outer court. God is seated in the holy place and he is calling, come, my child, hallelujah, I'm so happy. I'm so happy you applied the blood of my son. I'm so happy you declared him the son of the living God. But come forward, don't get stuck there. You might be perished there. Are you with me? From that time, look at me. This was the turning point in Yeshua's earthly ministry. Till then, he was blessed. He was a blessing to everybody whomever he touched, he healed. You know, he spoke words of life into people, right? He attracted multitudes. The disciples probably felt very good, huh? I mean, oh, yeah, you see this rabbi? I am his disciple. It was fun to walk with Yeshua. Please listen with your spiritual ears, beloved people. It was fun to walk with Yeshua HaMashiach. Are you with me? But Yeshua now is turning to the last phase of his earthly ministry, which is not so fun. 180 degrees turn towards Jerusalem. This is actually Jerusalem, yeah? Leaving pan and idol worshipping and fun things behind him, looking like flint, focusing like flint to Jerusalem, the city of the great king, and start walking, receiving willingly the reproach, the mockery, the spitting, the beating, and the climax is Golgotha, the crucifixion. Why? In order to be raised again on the third day. Show me one man or woman alive which needed resuscitation. No, you need to die if you want somebody to bring you back to life, right? You remember I talked with you about the only solution, beloved, to our, fight that happens within us, between the flesh, this yucky flesh, and the will that wants to do his will, right? Remember? To be perfect and blemished before God. You remember the solution? Is the prophet, is the king, Yeshua. But what does it mean is the solution? It is only applied, it is only good when you walk in his footsteps all the way till the resurrection. You cannot experience the resurrection in your life, i.e. defeating Satan in your life, without letting him crucify you. Without letting him take you in his footsteps to Jerusalem. Are you with me? Let's read it. 24. Then Yeshua said to his disciples, if anyone, did you hear the word anyone? It's there in the Greek. It's not some special ones. If anyone desires to come after me, how many of us desire to come after Yeshua? Let him deny himself. This is the antibiotic against Satan. The bacteria called Satan. The only antibiotics, the only vaccine against this disease called Satan is denying your own self. No shortcuts. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses it, his life for my sake will find it. Beloved, listen carefully. Remember I gave you the tabernacle as an example, the outer court? How many courts or how many sections did God's dwelling place among his people add? 3. Interesting number, right? Beloved, applying the blood and going through the water only leaves you in the outer court. Are you with me? You need to walk the desert walk, hardships of life. You need to let God produce out of you some incense. I'm talking about the holy. Some good bread and some good light. Remember? The showbread bread in the menorah. All speak about death. How do you produce oil or olive oil? Crushing, killing, squeezing. How do you produce incense? Grinding, killing, or cooking. How do you produce bread? Again, the same. The Holy speaks about death to self, because only from death comes resurrection. That's why Yeshua understood it in Gethsemane, which the name actually means the olive oil press. An olive oil production place. He knew, he understood his father is putting him now in the olive press. And he knew that this will pave his way to Golgotha, which will pave his way to the resurrection. Are you with me? Let's not be satisfied with following Yeshua as long as it is convenient, as long as we are blessed, as long as we have better, well-paid job, Cadillac, and maids, and private planes. Oh, hallelujah! It's all about blessings. Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God. And the things of God means crucifixion before resurrection. Death to self. You are minded of the things of men. Oh, no, no, no. Don't speak to me like this. Yeshua took all my judgment upon himself. No, no. Now he left me a garden of pink roses with nice, you know, aroma. Hallelujah. Life is going smoothly now with Yeshua. You will get your two wings once you say it, your sinner prayer, and now you will start to fly. Rubbish. This is a different gospel, beloved. A different gospel is preached in the churches today. And I'm not speaking only about prosperity. I'm talking about any gospel which does not consider the three stages of the tabernacle. The three stages that the Israelites needed to cross on their way out of Egypt. Applying the blood of the Passover lamb, were they saved? No. Being baptized into Moses and into the cloud, were they saved? Not yet. Walking the desert, were they saved? Not yet. Only when they crossed to the other side, to the promised land, where God is dwelling. Amen. Hang on. Comfort thee, my people. Comfort. You need comfort. But please understand that the fix for your problem is not a different gospel than the gospel that I preached to you today. The gospel includes suffering. Now tell me, please, and with this we will end. Isn't he worthy of us walking in his footsteps all the way to the end? Come on, he did it all for us. Much more if this is the real only solution. You want to stop fornicating? Die to self. Beg Yeshua, be on your floor, be 40 days in fasting. I don't know. Fight the devil. I don't care about water. I don't care about food. I am dying to self. You want to kill me, Satan? Kill me. Hallelujah. I will be resurrected again. You are only a little puppet in God's hand. With all the other grasshoppers in the world who lead this world. There is only one king and one prophet. His name is Yeshua HaMashiach. Are we going to follow him all the way to the end? Is he worthy of us following him? I believe yes. And I encourage you to believe the same. Thank you, my beloved. Amen.